Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Speaking of not good for anybody, Paul joining us on the Wester Hotline. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. You know I love you, Paul.
It's Paul's fault, actually. It's not.
It's Paul's fault?
A long time ago, when the Sabres were good, mm-hmm. and we'd all go to games, and I would sit in my season ticket seats, Paul would be looking down on me from the press box and pointing out my thinning hair
the
on top
spot.
Of my head. Yeah. Yep. Back in 2007.
I think he even took a picture of it with his flip phone once, didn't he?
Talking trash to me in 2007 about it, yeah.
I can't imagine what he said to me over the years about my balding head in the press box. He usually sits right above where I sit.
I'm going to sit this discussion out with my head, okay? If that's all right. Mr. Yeah. Flo, how you doing there, P-Ham?
Yeah, I still have the flow. Howard, you used to have flow when you were on TV.
I did, 20, 30 years ago, yeah. I think I started thinning out somewhere in the mid-90s, late 90s, I don't know. And then it just all left. Didn't you take – I thought you tweeted out a picture one time of Jeremy from the press box view. Maybe. I don't know.
You probably might have sent it to me.
You couldn't take pictures with your flip phone probably. But, you know, so, I mean, obviously the outcome really didn't matter. But, you had to feel so bad for Hauser last night. His family gets to see him. They're on hand. And – you know, largely it was bad play in front of him. But, I mean, as each goal kept going, and I'm like, I almost feel like Don Granato, you don't want to pull the kid with his family there. But in the meantime, they just keep scoring.
Yeah. Oh. That was an atrocious effort by the Sabres in front of him, especially, you know, and they were all so happy for him after those two games. I think I mentioned that to you. How, you know, the way they smiled on the ice, I don't think I've seen that team smile like that for anything in the last 10 years. They really, really enjoyed the kid, you know, winning the games, and they'd come out and, you know, celebrate with him and beat him up and everything else after the game. And it was, you know, it was really kind of fun to see. And then they go out and do that in front of him. And the thing is, they had gotten it to 3-3. You know, so they were keeping up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's 3-3. And then for the next 34 minutes and 47 seconds, the Penguins basically ran the Sabres right out of the back of the building. And it was, you know, the Sabres afterwards, really, you know, Drake Jula saying, you know, we owe him big time. For what, you know, laying the egg in front of him, as he said, and he said the kid deserves better. And they really, I think, are going to try a lot harder to, you know, help this kid if he winds up in net for Saturday. There's a chance Allmark could play.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge chance, but a small chance he could play. It basically boils down to if Allmark feels he can go, he can tell the coaches and they'll change their mind and
right.
probably play him. But if this kid gets back, and he's 28 years old, and I'm still calling him a kid.
That's okay.
gets back in goal, I expect a much better effort in front of him.
I think, just so you know, Paul, to anybody under 30, for you and me, we still can call a kid.
Well, you can. I can't.
Well, Paul, stop lying to people.
You're like 25 years older than me.
Just, so. You know. Okay, moving on to the next thing. I got to tell you, it was fun. I know it's not exactly a good game plan to try and go step for step, whatever, with Pittsburgh. But as you said, when they made it 3-3, I thought, it's firepower versus firepower, and somehow they're staying with it. Did they just kind of say for one night, you know what, don't worry about it, let's just try and run with these guys?
I think it started, and they're going, hey, this is fun.
It was fun to watch, I got to tell you. I couldn't keep my notes fast enough to keep up with all the goals that were being scored.
Yeah, I was sitting there. It took me about 15 minutes to do all the math. trying to figure out, well, it was this amount of seconds in between this goal and this amount of this goal. And, you know, so, yeah, it was kind of tough to try to do the math as we went along. But, yeah, I think that's why they wound up getting into it like that. Just before what you said, it was fun. They thought they could do it. It was going well, you know, and then all of a sudden it didn't go well.
Yeah.
And, you know, next thing you know, eight pucks are in their net.
You mentioned Kujula. So he had a couple goals last night. His contract is up at the end of the season. Has he done enough or okay, let me just rephrase this. Would you like to see him resigned?
That's a good question. When I was asking him the question yesterday, it's certainly not a lack of effort. I mean, you get effort from him, you know, every game, but it just didn't seem like it goes very far until this game. And then it actually was a pretty nice shot to see where Jari was in the net. Jari kind of sat back in his net and to pick the corner, a short side on him. That was a pretty nice shot that he had there to score the goal. Mm-hmm. Now he got help from the goalie, but still, you know, he was able to do that. That's the thing, too. You start the game off with that play. It's a good play all the way around. Shahan makes a nice play to produce the turnover. It was Mark Friedman, I believe, that turned the puck over to him. But that was a good play by Shahan just to produce that turnover and then quickly get the transition the other way to Kujula. And, you know, he uses his speed, gets in. Jari gets caught deep in the net, and you've got the lead. And, you know, it's pretty early in the hockey game when this happens. It's 2:45 into the hockey game. Yeah, you know, Jeff Carter gets two goals before the end of the period. You don't play real well in the period, although I thought they played better than 10-5 shots would tell you they did. I thought they missed some very good opportunities. Brett Murray had probably 3 or 4 really good scoring chances in this game because he was willing to go to the net and, you know, and then, you know, Thompson scores very early in the second period. So now you're 2-2, and then it starts. You know, next goal's 1:04 later. Next goal's 37 seconds later. Next goal's 1:13 later. Next goal's 59 seconds later. Before you're done, there's 5 goals in 3:53. Unfortunately, when this all ends, it's 5-3 other team. And you're still okay, really, because, you know, 2 games in a row against one of the best teams in the NHL at holding a lead, you had come back from 2 goal deficits and won the game. So you're sitting there after 40 minutes. All right, you're down 2, but you've been able to put some pressure on the other goaltender. You've been able to put 3 in the net. And, you know, so I wouldn't think after 40 minutes you're sitting in there going, well, all is lost, you know, and, but, you know, 5-3 became 8-4 by the time it was over.
There's another guy I want to ask you. Now, he's under contract. Tage Thompson scored last night, his career-high 8th goal. And I guess with him, Paul, and with a number of things, I could almost come up with like a before Kruger and after Kruger, like BK and AK things here. But Thompson's under contract, so it's a different discussion than Kujula. What did you see from Thompson this season? Is there a reason to believe, because he was better after the coaching change, is there a reason to believe he can be a more consistent player going forward? Because you point out many times, whether it's on the air of the station or through Twitter, he can look great one night and then just disappear for a stretch.
And that's still there. And one of these forwards is probably not going to be able to be protected unless Jeff Skinner agrees to let them not protect him if he doesn't mind going to Seattle, but I can't see that. You know, he wanted to come to Buffalo because one of the reasons it's close to Toronto where he lives. And I realize Ron Francis, who had Jeff Skinner in Carolina, is in Seattle. But I just don't see Skinner saying, yeah, okay, I'll go out there, unless he has some burning desire to live out there.
The other thing, Paul, I mean, he could agree to waive it as a gamble, and the Sabres would dare them to take Skinner. And they might not because of the contract, right?
Yeah.
You think they'd take him?
I think they might know for sure that he wouldn't go there, and so, you know, but Skinner would have to be guaranteed that he's not going anywhere, you know, and then they wouldn't have to protect him. But, you know, now the choice would be Asplund, Thompson, you know, one of those two guys. And to me, I probably would protect Asplund before Thompson right now. But I don't think ownership would agree with me on that.
Really?
They don't want to look.
Because of the contract?
Part of the O'Reilly trade.
And oh, my Lord.
They want that to work out in the worst way. And well, ownership, I think, would be would frown upon not protecting Thompson.
In this formula, I've got both Thompson and Asplund. I would expose Gergensen's, but I don't think ownership would want to
do that
either.
Right?
No.
Well, I mean, at least that's not the O'Reilly trade, right? So maybe.
I mean, Gergensen's is 2.2 for two more years, and you could expose him. I'm not sure. Hmm. There's the whole game of trying to figure out who Seattle would take. You know, you're daring them to take somebody. And, I don't know, they've taken a 27, 28-year-old Zemgus Gergensen's?
Well, Bork is the one. I mean, right now, as I've written it down, Skinner, Eichel, Reinhardt, Asplund, Mittelstadt, Olsson, Thompson. That would expose Bork and Gergensen's. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're looking at. What do you want to do with Bjork? I had Gergensen's exposed no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I think the conversation comes down to Asplund, Thompson, and Bjork. One of those guys has to be exposed.
I just don't think it would be. I get you. We talked about this yesterday. Jeremy brought it up. I quite honestly never took into account them trying to justify the O'Reilly trade. So to me, I would take Asplund, keep Asplund, and I think we got down to Thompson or Bjork, and then I was a coin flip at that point.
I mean, it's going to sound like leading up to this, Paul, like I think Rasmus Asplund is Connor McDavid, which I don't. But
I don't either.
For me, he's really, I want to say, like a must protect. I really like what I've seen from him. Mm-hmm. His overall game, his offensive ability, there's a little bit there. I just think he's worth keeping.
I agree. I agree 100%. He's the type of player that and he gives you some production out of the bottom six.
Right.
And you've heard me pounding the table for that for how long now? Probably since you've known me, because I don't think they've gotten much in production since 07 out of their bottom six. You know, you just have to get some production, and I think Asplund is the guy that can give you that. And you know, so absolutely, you know, I would protect him over Thompson, but I think Terry would get involved if Thompson was not protected. I almost know he would.
Hey, before we let you go, would you like to share a thought or two, since you covered his career here, about Chris Drury, the new president GM of the New York Rangers?
I thought you were going to say Abe Lincoln or something. I covered his career here.
No, actually, you would say that to me. Your boy White over there hit me with a lovely line about what it was like living in Prohibition the other
Prohibition,
day.
Prohibition, yeah.
Yeah. So, thanks for setting the precedent for him, Paul. It's really
Did they
nice
have cake
you.
Vodka back then?
They didn't. It was just regular vodka. It was bathtub gin or regular vodka. And I thought, you know, if you could only make vodka taste like cake. And anyway, it took me a while.
Yeah, they've been grooming him to do that, and if there was a team that he'd want to do it for, it's the New York Rangers. I mean, he's from, I believe, the Connecticut area. The Rangers were his favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why he wound up playing there. You know, when the Sabres were and him, whatever the story you want to believe, you know, they had a contract. They didn't have a contract. They had to bring it back to ownership. It took too long. He said, forget it because it took too long. You know, whatever the story is that you want to believe, you know, and then the story I do know for a fact is he did tell the Sabres that we'll bring any offer back to you. So the Sabres weren't too concerned, and that was the last they ever heard from him.
Oops.
You know, he wound up with the Rangers. He signed the contract, and then the Sabres never heard a word from him. So, and then it was like, well, I always wanted to be a Ranger. I mean, it's the Rangers.
Right.
I love that team.
His team, yeah.
So that's why, you know, he was groomed for this. This is what he wanted to do, and now he has the job.
All right, Mr. Hamilton. Well, we'll talk to you next week in some way, shape, or form, right? I assume they'll do a locker clean out by Zoom?
I would think, yeah, it'll definitely be by Zoom, right? And I would think they would do it Sunday.
All right.
I mean, they usually do it the day after. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to do the team dinner that they always used to do, you know, with because of COVID and that type of thing. So that may or may not happen, but
you anticipate hearing from Kevin Adams next week?
Yes,
he'll do a regular state of the Sabres.
Yeah, I think we'll hear. I don't know if we'll hear from the coach because he's an interim coach.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't, unless they hire him and take the interim tag off, which quite quickly I think would be a mistake. I'm not saying that Don Granato shouldn't get the job, but I'm saying they still should do the interviews.
Yeah.
You know, I still think they should talk, do the extensive search they're talking about, do the interviews. I would say Don Granato has the inside track, but I don't think they should just say, here, it's your job, and not do their due diligence along the way.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, Mr. Hamilton, we'll chat with you next week. Have a fabulous weekend, sir.
Sounds good. You guys, too. Happy Mother's Day to everybody's wives. And I will talk on the air before Mother's Day, but for you, both you gentlemen, please wish your wives happy Mother's Days.
Will do. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.